Hey guys, glad you're here. I've missed you. It's been one of those situations where I'm used to posting every week for the last couple of years. And so now that we're doing these episodes once a month for the leadership coaching, of course, I've done a few in between supplemental episodes. You know, I've been able to move forward on a ton of projects, and I'm excited about those, but I've definitely missed hanging with you through this format and just trying to give you all of the training, inspiration, encouragement I can. So we're looking at these leadership skills, and we finished this progression of ideas where we are now for this sixth skill as we prepare to build on what it means to be poised. So we said, you know, we've got to learn how to cultivate this mindset based on this audacity that we're going to grow people like crazy, and we develop our repetition and we show up prepared for each moment. What are we actually showing up prepared to do? That's what this skill is about. And it's about setting the pace. See, a leader's favorite word when it comes to the progression of a vision is pace. We need the vision and we need to run towards it. Now, before we get to that, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever felt this feeling of, why can't they just get it? It doesn't matter if it's the team you're leading, the team you're a part of, you're trying to lead sideways or lead up, help people understand your vision, or maybe you're leading the team you're charged and responsible to develop, and they're not getting it. I look back at my 20s and I can see my worst mistakes were because of hyped decisions. I didn't slow down, pay attention, see where I was sabotaging myself. Or second, I wasn't being heard. And so rather than increase the clarity of my message, I just increased the intensity. Sometimes there was yelling, sometimes there was tears. It was messy. But you know what it feels like to have been misunderstood. You want people to get it. See, as leaders, we never just experience things. We instead always see a better way. I mean, this is the simple stuff of getting out of the shower. And when I get out of the shower, there's this mat. Some of you that are married, you're going to totally crack up, or with somebody. There's this mat in front of the shower that I step out on it and it like soaks up water and I dry off there. Beautiful system, right? Well, my wife, for whatever reason, thinks you get out of the shower, you're dripping wet, you put a towel around you, and then you just walk wherever. So you may leave some wet footprints on the rug in the bathroom. You may leave some wet footprints on the carpet in the master bedroom. And then your husband could be walking through because he's getting dressed to go somewhere and he steps in the puddles of water in his socks and now his socks are wet. And this is a very troubling issue. See, as leaders, we don't just experience things. We go through them and we always see a better way. I remember as I started to study speaking 20 years ago, and I would be in these moments where I would be so moved by a speaker and think, I want to do that. And as I started to study it like crazy, it does take a little bit of the magic out. I have to see somebody perform at a very high level from a speaking standpoint to really be caught up in the performance. Once you start to study and break things down, you see behind them in a way because you're always wanting to pick it apart. You look at things, everything you go through, and you're like, this is how this could be better. This is how this could be better. This is how this could be better. When I worked at Chick-fil-A and I learned how the nuggets were made, not that it's gross, it's just they're not magical anymore. I see how it happened. So as leaders, we're always experiencing things and we're going through them and we see how it can be better. And we try to share that with others, and then sometimes we're misunderstood. We want people to get it, and they're not. And this is frustrating because we want to move unhindered to this new world, this new direction, to dry off when you get out of the shower and not leave water puddles. Obviously, that's small and stupid. Big life-changing things have to happen. Big vision has to happen. We want to move at a pace that is exciting to us, that we feel unhindered, that we're able to run and go. How do we do it? Well, there's a thought that a lot of us have. I can move unhindered in the vision. I can be able to blaze the trail if I can just get everyone taken care of and happy. If I lead perfectly everyone will be good, and they'll understand, and they'll be ready to run with me into this new vision. I remember thinking that when I was about 23 or 24, I remember I was helping navigate organizational change, and we were leading a turnaround effort, and I'm leading with a new vision, and not everybody got it, and some people were upset and angry, even expressing that to me in violent ways, accosting ways, yelling, being threatened with a gun. It was crazy. And I remember feeling this feeling of going, if I could just lead everyone perfectly, then everything would be okay. Like, if I could just lead that good. And then I started to think about it. I mean, who are some amazing leaders that have done amazing things in the history of this planet? Martin Luther King. He had a vision, and some people understood it. He wanted everybody to get it, but not everybody did get it, and so he was a threat to some, and his life was ended. And I think of Gandhi. I think of Jesus. I think of Nelson Mandela. I think of people that led with a blazing clear vision and moved the marker of what it means to be a good human way forward, but not everyone understood. See, here's the reality. You'll only go as far in your leadership to impact and influence others as you are willing to be misunderstood. Now, you want to be aware of where you're misunderstood so you can still be relatable, and it's smart to be conscious of your message and what you do that might be off-putting to others, that might be challenging to others. I know there are things about me that are just weird. Some of the intentionality with which I live, my zero-drop shoes that I obsess over, the fact that I don't want to use aluminum for my deodorant, some of my health choices, whatever it is, I know there's some things that I do that are weird. So I'm going to relax people and joke and be relatable, but I'm not going to give up the courage of being misunderstood. See, here's the skill that we want to learn to develop. If we're going to be pace setters as leaders, if we're going to take all that we talked about in the last episode about being prepared and poised and turn that into moving the vision forward, then we've got to understand it's okay to be misunderstood. In fact, I would say it this way. When everybody around you fully sees what you see as a visionary leader, you're no longer ahead. And it's your role, it's your job to start looking out ahead, to get a long-term gaze to the vision. And if you're going to have that long-term gaze, as soon as everybody is seeing what you're seeing, you're out in front again with the next piece of the vision. And it doesn't mean that you, in an insecure way, put that in front of them like, I see what you don't see. You're not having to remind them of this. You're not having to beat them over the head with this. You're not trying to make this the hill that you die on. Like, you're just not the leader. You don't get it. Because healthy leaders will actually let others on the team stir up their vision, right? And expand what they see. But there is something mysterious, I'll even say mystical, that when you are at the helm and it's on your shoulders, the way that you live with it, it just means that you'll see farther than other people. And as soon as they start to feel like they may catch up to you, there's already something else that you're seeing that's next. This isn't about changing the direction every few months, okay? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about an insecure leader who constantly is changing tactics and strategies and doesn't know how to sit with something and get the data and make smart decisions. I'm talking about the best visionary leaders that I've ever worked for. As soon as I start to fully see what they see, they then stretch my vision another long distance out in front of the ground that we had just taken. So here's the thing. If you're going to see beyond what others are seeing, you're going to be misunderstood, at least for a moment. Your job as a leader is to bring them along with you. It's like, we're all wired up different. My wife can see a room from a decorating standpoint in a way that I never can. And she'll transform it. And I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. Likewise, just through real estate stuff and looking at houses, we can go into a place and I can see an old kitchen and how it can be transformed into something beautiful. That's not so much her gifting. And until I give her pictures and explain it, she's not with me. So as a leader, we're understanding that it takes courage. It's a skill to be developed to sharpen our vision. And as we take this courage, we're going to be misunderstood at this stage, at least for a moment. So here's the thing. If you're an artist as a leader, and I mean that. I mean, if we're visionaries and we're actually trying to move something forward, we're going to take some arrows. There are some people that aren't going to understand. But with our teams, with the people we lead, when there's a misunderstanding that occurs, we're going to take the blame and we're going to credit the wins. So we're going to own that they don't understand it, and we're going to take the time to explain it, to catch them up to our vision without shaming them and making them feel like they are behind. We're just going to patiently tell stories consistently, sharing results of our vision, showing the credibility of it through the small wins. I know with our team with SiteShift, I constantly share the wins with them. Not that they need to be inspired, but I want them to constantly be surrounded by the vision. I want them to feel it. And when I mess up, they're not going to follow wholeheartedly if I'm not willing to say, and I've shared these phrases with you before, I was wrong, I lied, I failed, I don't know the answer to that question. It's a great question. Help me, right? Whatever it is that's happening, I want to be in that place that I say, yes, you can understand that I am not a perfect leader. I may see something you don't see, but it doesn't mean I do everything else awesome. And I need you to help me with this. This is healthy leadership. This is secure leadership. And I know some of you that are listening to this, it's normal that you go through a phase where your vision loses its sharpness. Maybe some of you work for a leader or have been in an environment long enough or you've tolerated something long enough that your vision has gotten sloppy at the edges. It's lost its laser sharp quality. Well, what I want you to do is stir up that emotion so that you can understand where do you need to get out in front again with vision. The other day I was driving by a Wendy's fast food restaurant, and it said that they were interviewing for certain positions. And it was just one of those days where I felt like, man, everything I put energy into did not do what I thought it would. And we all have those days. I remember thinking, I want to just go into Wendy's and do that interview and see if I can nail it, because it will feel so good to win one. That interview wasn't going to stretch me, right? I wanted to do that just because it would be easy. The vision that's stirring within you for what the next year of your life looks like, for the next 40 years, for the next 3 months, for the thing that you're facing resistance on doing today, is going to be something that probably makes you feel like, oh, what if they don't get it? That's normal. That's how you know you're actually taking the next courageous step. And I want you to take that next courageous step, because if you don't have vision, it's like not having water. As a leader, you become dehydrated. It's funny to me to watch my kids. They run in the house like on a weekend, you know, every few minutes it seems like somebody's coming in and needs water. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Were we all dehydrated as kids? Because everybody's got to have a bottle of water with them everywhere. They're coming in and getting water all the time. I know that we need water to survive, but we just hit up the hose. Weren't coming in the house all the time. Listen, vision for you, it's like water. You've got to have it. You've got to see with hope what's out in front of you. And even if you can only see the next step, that's okay. Vision, vision, vision. I think of something Jack Welch talked about when he was at GE, and there were just some days when he would be done casting vision and think, I can't share this vision again. I'm about to puke. I've said it so many times to so many people. And that's how you can know it's starting to get heard. Vision, vision, vision. Now, as a practical resource, I want to make sure that you have some tools that you can draw on. Because if you're going to have the courage to set the pace as a leader, to be willing to be misunderstood for a moment as people are joining you with what you see. I don't want you to be surprised by their reactions. You're going to be surprised in circumstances as a leader. You can't control all circumstances, but we should not be surprised by reactions because they fall into patterns. And so I actually use seven different kind of templates that just keep me sharp. I'm serious. I seriously do use these. I teach them all the time. It seems like they're coming up in leadership coaching calls. I used to carry some of them around in my wallet, laminated, because I want them just to become a part of me. You know, you have knowledge that you draw on that aids you every day, so actively choose to make these a part of who you are. Now, I've shared them with you before, and I'm just going to do a quick overview because we want to keep these in our bones, in our guts. Part of our soul. So, first, when you're going to, first template I want to remind you of, when you're going to be the kind of leader that sets a pace and is willing to be misunderstood, even for a moment, because again, if they fully see everything that you're laying out, then you're not ahead, you're not leading. And whoever is seeing the next piece is the real leader. FYI. So first template that I like to just remind myself of is the four stages of a team. This has been researched and studied, and none of these tools or templates are perfect. But again, quick access will help you just orient where you are. But it's forming, storming, norming, performing. When a team forms, it forms around an initial idea, vision, enthusiasm. Then there's going to be conflict because it's not like we thought. That's stage two, storming. And then it normalizes into a good rhythm. And then it hits that fourth stage of performing. And I've talked to these about these before. And healthy leadership means knowing what phase you're in the best you can. And it's called situational leadership. You can research that with Ken Blanchard, some work that he did to pay attention to each phase and what you need to bring. So I'll use that, right? I'll get some awareness of that. I will use the four approaches to change with Myers-Briggs. Visionary, guardian, relational activist. I've shared this with you before too. Visionaries see the future. That's you. That's me. And our first impulse is to respond to the activist's enthusiasm. Yes, let's go take the hill. Yes. And we leave behind the guardians who think that they need to in a sacred way, protect the ground that's been taken in the past. And if they take this new direction, it's going to give up what needs to be held on to. So when we just respond to the activist's enthusiasm, we make the guardians nervous and they check out. And then the relational people of the Myers-Briggs types are going, man, well, not everybody's unified on this vision. I can't have peace about it. I'm not going to support it. So visionaries, we want to go to the guardians first, win them over, tell the activists to chill, relationship, the relational come along, and boom, we're good. So not that it's that simple. I have led organizations using all these templates, and they will help you in moments quickly get a sense of where you are and what to do next. I use the five dysfunctions of a team. If you've not read that, Patrick Lencioni's book, Five Dysfunctions of a Team, crazy awesome model to get you really aware of what blocks peer accountability. Okay, healthy teams, it's not just about one person bringing accountability. It's about team accountability, that each person on the team is holding the others to what they said they would do. Fourth template I use is the seasons. So you can go back earlier on a podcast. I did a whole podcast on the seasons. It's actually the next book I'm working on because the seasons are a model to recognize the next action to take anytime you might feel stuck or not be happy with the result you're getting. So am I in the fall? Is there something to let go of? Winter, lean into and study. Spring, wait for that new energy to come. And then summer, how to rest with vigilance. So that's four of the templates. Fifth template that I use, not that I always use them in this order necessarily, is there's a book called The Leadership Challenge, and there's five pieces to that. And, you know, the two that I resonate with the most for what we're talking about here is challenge the process and model the way. Again, they're just really simple. What does a leader do? They do these five things. And modeling the way is what we're talking about today. You get a vision and you start living it out. And that vision is usually built on challenging the process. You're challenging what was done before. You know, it's Martin Luther King, it's Gandhi, it's Jesus, it's Mandela, to use the earlier examples going, there is a different way. I also use the five stages of vision, which I've taught you. You can go to what was a podcast that I did at the beginning of 2016, and man, we're deep in the weeds to refer to some of these, but that vision starts with getting bothered. You get bothered, then you prepare, you execute. As you begin to execute, you'll face distractions. So the next thing you do is focus. You celebrate the ground you took, and then you get that you've taken, and then you get bothered again. So for some of you right now hearing this, if you're not like stirred emotionally on something, then you're blocking up, something is blocked up within you that you're not going to be able to access that vision. You got to get into that visceral guts of what is bothering me, what needs to change, what needs to be better. So I use that. So I've given you six. The seventh one I use is just, it's a real simple thing for me, and this is the simplest way I know to express leadership. Leadership is all of your life, okay? You lead in every category. You're never not leading, and you want to leave everything better. And by leaving everything better, you're actually leading. It doesn't matter. It's a small moment. It's a big moment. It's launching your kids out. It's a relationship, somebody you care about. It's walking through the parking lot, and it's going to sound crazy, but it's picking up a piece of trash. Leave it all better. I know that sounds weird, okay? But if you do the small things, the big things take care of themselves. See? Right there, I'm willing to be misunderstood. I know that sounds weird. And then I try to gain relatability. If you do the small things, big things take care of themselves. To go back to a comment I made earlier. But and when you're leaving it all better, when you have a question of what to do in leadership, because most of life is gray, always err on empowering people. That's what healthy leaders do. Let me close it down by saying this. Look, I've talked a lot about vision. What is the vision? Well, ultimately, in a general way of saying it, the people are the vision. The vision isn't some separate thing that we impose and push on the people. The people are the vision. Any great vision is about growing people. I lost sight of this. It was my late 20s, and I was talking to one of my buddies, and he's been a key voice at different points in some junctures of my life where I was making a decision. And he said, man, the way that you talk about the organizational vision, it's like you're pushing it on the people. And he said this phrase, Chris, the people are the vision. That hit with a thud. And that was before I started doing a lot of the research that I've done this last decade on identity and identity formation. And now I know that secure leaders, they're focused on building people, helping them become better. So as we close this down, just know this. The pace of the team is directly correlated to the pace of the leader. And you will feel unhindered when you make peace with the fact that you're going to be misunderstood for a moment. You're not surprised by people's reactions, and you have the courage to keep casting the vision through all means necessary until people join you where you are. And when they join you where you are, it'll be time to be misunderstood again and stretch that vision out. Happy leading, happy setting that pace, and embracing the courage to be misunderstood. Lead with vision, leave it all better. Err on the side of empowerment. Peace.